Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of reimaginedonline.org, sparking the evolution of education choice. On this episode, senior writer Lisa Bowie talks with Denise Streets, whose daughter receives the Family Empowerment Scholarship for students with unique abilities. Denise also founded and operates Bridging the Reading Gap, a tutoring and advocacy service for students with special education needs.
So today we have with us Denise Streets. Denise is an educational reading specialist and the founder of Bridging the Reading Gap tutoring service. She's also a scholarship mom. Tell me about yourself and your family.
So I have one adult child. She is very much grown, and so nothing much to report on her. But I also have a 12-year-old daughter who is in the sixth grade. She was diagnosed or identified with dyslexia almost 2 years ago. From that, well, way before that diagnosis, I was in college working on a specialist degree in curriculum instruction with a focus on reading, and watching her through her schooling really pushed me in more of a direction of becoming a tutor, teaching children how to read, and also an educational advocate where I help families kind of navigate the school systems, get help for their children that they need, and also I'm a provider for Step Up as well. So I kind of parlayed the whole thing into a business. I kind of fell into it, but I'm very glad that I'm here.
Had you always wanted to be an educator of some type?
That is an interesting question. I always loved kids. Even as a kid, I would help in children's church. I loved to babysit. I worked in a daycare center when I was in college. So I always liked being around kids. But more, I think I chose the teaching field more because I thought, oh, I can be home with my kids in the summer and won't that be fun? And so that's kind of how I evolved into the teaching profession.
And you mentioned your daughter being diagnosed with dyslexia. When did you first learn about her condition and how did it reveal itself?
When she was in VPK, when she was 4 years old, I was an assistant director of a screening and intervention program for Nemours Children's Clinic at one point, and we provided intervention to kids in childcare centers around the city of Jacksonville, and so I kind of knew what to look for. I really enjoyed early childhood, and while she was in VPK, I noticed that she was really struggling with letter names, struggling with letter sounds, whereas her peers were kind of taking off. She was really struggling. And we decided to redshirt her in kindergarten. So we held her back for another year. We did another year of VPK. And I thought, well, you know, different environment, different school, different approach. Maybe she will pick it up. I mean, I had read to her, you know, in the womb. So it wasn't for lack of exposure. She had always been exposed to literacy and reading and letters, but it just wasn't clicking. So we held her back. We did a second year of VPK, and it was not enough. The little private school we were at said, you know, she doesn't know all of her letter sounds and names by May. She won't be able to come to kindergarten here in our private school. And I said, okay, we will find a place for her. And I knew in my heart that public school, because I had taught in the public school system for many years, I knew that it was not going to be the right fit for her. I didn't feel like she would get whatever it was that she was going to need. I just had a feeling she wasn't going to get it. So I started researching private schools, and they had an entrance exam. Almost all of them used the Brigance test, you know, as an entrance exam to go into kindergarten. And they all said the same thing. She's adorable. She's lovely. She's so sweet, but she didn't pass our exam. And I struggled to find a school that could see her as a whole child and not just a test score. Eventually, after numerous private school tours, we found a school. We were really happy, had a really good feeling about them. So she started kindergarten there. By mid-kindergarten, her teacher said she only knew 12 letter names and sounds by mid-kindergarten. And I knew that it was more than just lack of exposure, lack of instruction. It was that something wasn't clicking, and I became pretty concerned. They offered private tutoring at the school on top of her regular day. So she started receiving private tutoring twice a week. We did that all the way through the pandemic in third grade. She did make some strides. Second grade, I had the county evaluate her. I didn't feel like they really dug deep enough in their evaluation. So I kind of took it with a grain of salt, and the pandemic hit. And that's when things really took a wide turn in another direction for our family.
And at that point, did you homeschool her?
Yes. So in March, she was in the third grade, still struggling through school, still getting the private tutoring at school twice a week. It was tough. It was really tough. And then we all had to keep our kids home. And we were all, I think, caught off guard, overwhelmed. And even though I had a degree in reading, I was struggling. And I could see just how deeply she was struggling when I was at home with her, having to teach her myself. It was a whole different animal. It was tough. And she is strong-willed, as is her mother. And so we didn't always work well together. So that was another piece of the struggle. As I think many families found out, it's hard to teach your own kids, and thank God for teachers. And even though I had been a teacher, it was just difficult. But I could see that she had some pretty significant gaps. After that school year ended, I decided to go ahead and homeschool her, because I felt like even though she had made gains in the private school, it was time to try something different. And so that year for fourth grade, we homeschooled. We joined a little co-op. We went on Fridays. But it just wasn't the best fit for us. And me trying to teach her was just incredibly hard. And she was still struggling. We were still getting private tutoring, even though it wasn't through the school anymore. We did find a private tutor to do some Orton-Gillingham-based tutoring with her. And that was great. And that summer, we finally just went ahead and paid for a private evaluation to kind of see where we were and see what was going on. And that's when the psychologist identified her with the dyslexia, along with she also struggles with math and spelling. So it was kind of like a triple diagnosis, so to speak, for her. You know, I just realized how hard it was for her.
And at that time, was a scholarship available for her? I know that there have been differences in the law and eligibility rules.
Well, I had looked into McKay actually for my oldest child years before, but because she didn't have an IEP, we couldn't get the McKay scholarship. And then when Kate came along, again, we didn't have an IEP because I hadn't put her in public school, so it kind of held us back. And then when the legislation changed a couple summers ago, and they added the dyslexia to the criteria, that's when we became eligible for the scholarship. At that point, as soon as the legislation changed and the scholarship opened up for applications, I immediately applied with the intent that we would go back to our private school, because it was homeschooling was hard and working and doing all of the things was just really tough. And so we thought, what a great opportunity. We'll be able to send her back to her private school, and we'll get help funding that, which will be amazing, and it's all going to be great. So that was really how we kind of got into the scholarship, was when the legislation changed and opened the doors for so many of us families.
How has the scholarship, and I'm assuming now it's the Family Empowerment Scholarship for Students with Unique Abilities, how has that flexibility allowed you to craft the best education for Kate?
Well, like I said, we had started out last year of fifth grade in our private school. We had been there. She had been there since kindergarten. We knew the teachers. We had a really good foundation with them. Unfortunately, when I came to them over the summer before fifth grade, and they had been the ones who had really kind of opened my eyes to the legislation and had really said, you know, we really want her back. We miss her. We love her. I had met with the headmaster before school started, you know, and talked to her and said, we've officially got the testing from the school, from the psychologist. We'd had a full psychoeducational evaluation done. Here's what it says. We're going to need some accommodations for her. Unfortunately, when school started, the accommodations were not put into place. The things that they had said they would do for her were not happening in the classroom. We weren't asking for services or anything above and beyond, just some basic accommodations for her, and that did not happen. So shortly after her fifth grade school year started, we removed her from the school. And with the scholarship, we were able to leave the private school, at which point we found a part-time co-op that we joined that worked specifically with kids with learning differences. So we were hopeful. We did that all of last year. Kind of came to a point where I wasn't sure if she was still getting everything she needed with regard to reading and math. So we finished out the school year with them. That was fifth grade last year. And just kind of, I took the summer and I actually worked with her myself over the summer using some Orton Gillingham based curriculum, built up her skills a little bit, worked on her math a little bit. And fortunately, I have a wonderful former teacher friend who decided to start her own part-time co-op. And she has seven little girls from third or fourth grade up to sixth grade. And she teaches all of the subjects. We actually discussed different curriculums and what we thought might work and be good. She's also had Orton Gillingham training, so she gets it. Her kiddos, one has dysgraphia, one also has dyslexia, so she was very familiar with the struggles that we were having at home and homeschooling. And she has started this co-op. We started with her in August, and it has been fantastic. As an advocate for families in the school system, I fight constantly for these kids to get the services that they need and they deserve. I fight to help get kids get tested through the school system, which can be very difficult. I tutor families whose kids get a public school. I also tutor families who homeschool. And I have helped families that I homeschool apply and who have been awarded the scholarship as well. So they're able to use that money to pay for the tutoring that I provide. And they are able to choose what works best for their kid for teaching them how to read. And we've found the same thing with our part-time co-op. And that's something that we had paid for private school for years with no assistance, but it was hard. It was a hardship. And during the pandemic, my husband was furloughed, so it was tough. But with the scholarship, we have the money and we have the flexibility to use the money how best works for us and how best suits us. And so we're thrilled. We're very happy. We're excited that we're sure that she's being taught in the way that she learns best.
And have you used your funds for any therapies that she needs?
For us, she didn't need speech therapy or any occupational or PT, anything like that. I do know many families that use it for therapies. We use it for her co-op dues, since it is kind of like a little private situation. We pay her dues with that. We have paid for a tablet for her to use to do her schoolwork on. We use it for, she's on a swim team. She swims for a private school, so it pays her swim team dues. We are able to use the money for art classes. She's taking an art class and learning how to crochet. She also, our local zoo has a homeschool program. So they meet once a month at our local zoo for 3 hours, and they break them up by age range for homeschool kids, and they spend one day, a half a day a month at the zoo. And she loves animals, so it's great for her. So the money, really, we're able to spread it out and use it for all different types of situations, whatever works best for us, and we just love it.
And how is she responding to this customized plan?
She's doing great. Initially, it was hard to leave her school. They had all been together. They were a sweet group of kids. They had been together for about four or five years. It was hard, but she's pretty social and friendly, and she has made new friends at this co-op, and they're all very close. They're very sweet. It's the type of environment that suits our values and our morals and our beliefs. So she has a lot of fun at her new co-op. We've maintained those friendships from her old school too, though. You know, we made a point to maintain those friendships, and she's doing great. And I am very thankful that I do not have to teach her all on my own anymore. I simply provide support facilitation, which is just a nice way of saying that I only have to step in when things get really hard for her. Her co-op teacher is great with her and really is very helpful in explaining things to her, and it makes my life a lot easier.
Is the co-op registered like a private school, a small private school, or is it more categorized as tutoring?
It's more categorized as tutoring. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's not registered as a school. It is definitely a part-time tutoring situation, because they don't go full-time. They go 3 days a week from 8 to 2, and she has a very small number of kiddos. So we categorize that under the part-time tutoring when we submit for reimbursement.
I see, because I know the term co-op, a lot of people hear that and they don't really understand what it is. So I just wanted to get some clarification on that. What would life have been like if she hadn't been able to receive the scholarship, if dyslexia wasn't added as a qualifying condition?
Well, I think for us, because I'm an educator at heart, I think we probably would have done whatever it had taken to get her what she needed. And also, the likelihood is that she would have probably stayed at the private school. And while it is a lovely school, they're not trained and qualified to specifically work with kids with learning disabilities. And unfortunately, many private schools are that way. If you don't fit right into their box, it's hard for them to know how to teach your kids. And so she probably would have stayed there and continued to struggle. And had the pandemic not hit, I might have never been the wiser as to how far below grade level she really was. So for us, getting the scholarship opened doors. I had never wanted to homeschool, ever. I was probably the most staunch anti-homeschool mom you would ever meet. I have a t-shirt from quarantine that says, "Homeschool Mom, the job I never wanted," because it was never in my plan, never in a million years. I never wanted to homeschool, but everything changed. And with the scholarship, it's crazy because the homeschooling and the scholarship opened a door for me to be able to work from home. A lot of parents, unfortunately, aren't afforded that opportunity, and it's hard. It's a hardship on them. And I'm thankful that it opened doors for me that I wasn't looking to have opened. But through all that, I started this business. I'm teaching kids how to read. I'm advocating for families. I'm helping other families get the scholarship so they can do what's best for their kids. And at the same time, still giving my child what she needs educationally.
And you mentioned you were a public school teacher for many years. So I have to ask, what inspired you to leave the traditional classroom setup and go out on your own and start something new?
Oh, it was definitely an evolution. I started teaching school when I was fresh out of college. I was, I think, 22. I was teaching school. I had a small child. I was a single mom. I taught for probably about 5 years, then got a master's in ed leadership because I thought, well, you know, I think I probably need to make more money, so I'll go into administration. And that lasted for a whole year. I was an assistant principal at a public school, and it just wasn't for me. I didn't have the contact with the kids that I loved. That was the part that I really liked. I was more of the disciplinarian. I wasn't teaching them. And so I left the school system at that point, and it's definitely not been a linear path. I went into early childhood education, then I moved into professional development. I worked for the University of Florida Lastinger Center, where I did professional development for teachers. And that was very eye-opening for me, I think. I saw that and I thought, wow, all this training that these teachers get, and the state really is very involved. And because I was supporting schools that were not passing. And so just watching these teachers and all the professional development and the lack of support that they got, the lack of support they got after the professional development, the lack of support that they got in the classroom, to me, it was just heartbreaking. And I thought, I can't be involved in this, in a system that I don't necessarily believe in anymore. And so I took time off when I had Kate, had some life things happen, took time off, stayed home with her for a while, finished up the specialist degree at Florida. And then when I started realizing the struggles that she was having and seeing how the school struggled to support her, and that's what kind of catapulted me where I am now.
And how do you like your new job?
I love it. I'm employee of the year every time. It's amazing. I was scared, though. I was scared to start something on my own. I didn't know. People talk about imposter syndrome, and I think that was me. I felt like, well, who am I to tell people that I can teach their kids to read? Like, who am I to tell people that I can help them, you know, get their kid tested for a learning disability? And I started taking trainings, and I started doing professional development, and I started just really digging in to learning the most about dyslexia and the best methods to teach her and to help my daughter. And that really somehow evolved into this business. I love it. I currently have 7 kiddos that I am tutoring, and they're all making amazing strides. I'm blown away. I'm advocating for a lot of families and helping them get the services that their children need. I'm helping families all over the country, California, Maine, West Virginia, Florida. It's just been, it's kind of exploded. I had no idea how many families out there needed help and were struggling. And it's been very eye-opening to me. It's been very eye-opening to see how our education system works. And it is somewhat broken. But I think the scholarship is a way to give families an option to find something different, maybe better, something that suits their children and works well for their kids.
Well, as you probably know, the Florida legislature is considering bills that would expand that education choice in the form of education savings accounts to all students. What effect do you think this legislation would have on families if it passes? And I'm also interested in your perspective as a provider as well.
I've been listening to the news, and I've read some of the legislation that they're looking to change, and the system is very concerned, you know, that it's going to take away from the public school money. But as a taxpayer, I feel like it's fair. I feel like we pay into our taxes. We pay into the school systems, whether we use them or not. And I think it's fair for our children to be able to have those funds. I think it's fair for parents to be able to make the choices. Do we always make the best choice the first try? No. It took me a couple tries to figure out what was going to work best for us. Is that hard? Yes. But I think that having the option to have those funds available to you, to use them how you need them, I think is even for private school families, having the option to not have to just use the funds for tuition is great. That way the school doesn't have total control of those funds either. You know, the families have that control, whether it's books, or some schools require you to have a laptop, a specific laptop, or even uniforms. Uniforms are expensive for private schools. So I think families having that option to have those funds available for what they see fit and what they need, I think is important. I think it's fair.
And as a provider and a parent, do you have suggestions for an expanded program?
I do. We were very fortunate in that this year, my friend who teaches Kate's co-op, she submitted first. She submitted the reimbursement to get reimbursed. And unfortunately, it was taking quite a while. It was taking more than maybe at some point 6 weeks for her to get reimbursed for the tuition. And that was a hardship for her and her family. My families tend to pay me up front and they submit for reimbursement. So either way, there seems to be some stickiness with that. Our co-op teacher said that for next year, we will have to pay up front and get reimbursed, which is fair. I understand. She has a family to take care of as well. But we'll have to have that money available and then we'll have to wait to get reimbursed. I think some glitches that have come about when they changed over, when they merged all of the different scholarships between the McKay, the Step Up, and the Gardner, when all of those came under the same umbrella, I think some what providers have noticed and also what parents have noticed is that not everyone seems to be looking at reimbursements through the same lens. So it would be wonderful if everyone had the same training and all of the, when you submit a reimbursement, if you know that no matter who looks at it, it will be processed the same way. It's tough because I know that even our co-op teacher submitted and one reimbursement was approved and the other one that was done exactly the same way was not. And they wanted her to submit something extra. So I think just having all the folks who are processing, and it's a big job, I'm sure, but everyone that's processing these requests, if everyone is on the same page, and I think if there's a way to streamline as far as people getting their payments quicker, the funds are there. So it would be nice if providers could get reimbursed quicker. You know, 6 weeks is a long time to wait for your paycheck to come, so to speak. So those are two things that I think would be very helpful. The other one is just something that we experience personally, like I said, with the private school system. I wish that there was more accountability with the private schools and how they accept the scholarship. I know that there are some guidelines when they agree to be a provider, but for us, we found that they're happy to take your money, but they need to be equipped. If you're taking a scholarship from a child who has a unique ability, meaning they have dyslexia or they have a speech issue or ADD or whatever it may be, then the teachers and the faculty and staff need to be equipped to handle those learning differences. If a child had diabetes, you would expect to have a nurse on staff. And I kind of equate that the same way to a child with dyslexia. If you have students who are struggling to read, it is your responsibility to locate, identify, and evaluate, like the child find mandate states. And teachers need to be equipped. They need to be equipped to teach our kids how to read and the way that their brains work and that their brains process. And I think private schools should be held more accountable to that.
Well, you'll be happy to know that at today's House subcommittee meeting, they approved a committee substitute bill, which had some tweaks in it. And one of the things that is required in this bill is that the private schools have to sit down and have a conversation with parents about what services they are able to provide before the child is enrolled in the school so that the parents are fully aware and can make fully informed choices.
That's fantastic. I know that someone from the Step Up organization put me in contact with Sam Garrison, who is a representative in my county, a House representative in my county. And when we met with him, he asked us about the scholarship and the great things about it. And in the end, he was like, is there anything you would change? And that was one of the things that I discussed with him. So it's good to know that, you know, maybe hopefully people are listening to the parents and the providers and they're going to make the changes necessary. I think parents definitely, parents definitely need to be told truthfully and straightforward whether the school is equipped, whether they can help their kiddo and give them what they need. And if not, then the parents have the right to find somewhere that will help them and can give them the services that they need. So I think it's amazing. That's a great step forward to me.
That's great to hear. Denise, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you inviting me and giving me a voice and giving other parents a voice. We appreciate it.